Paul Lawler is running for re-election to the Wilmington City Council. Running for re-election means either there's things left to be done or you just really like the job. So why are you going for it for another term?
Vince, there's a couple of reasons. There's a number of issues I'm working on that I think I bring a little background to that's useful. Talked a lot about economic development, got some ideas in the affordable housing area, some ideas regarding WAVE and how the area grows. And so I'd like to pursue those for the next 4 years, see if we can make Wilmington a tad a bit better.
Yeah, when it comes to enticing businesses to come to Wilmington, and I know there are several players involved, but there's also incentives such as the $46,000 that was given to National Gypsum, which is in this year's budget. And I'm wondering, there's a certain amount of money for these incentives. What is the process for deciding which companies might be worthy of giving an incentive to open up shop here?
Well, generally, the companies that ask for an incentive come through Wilmington Business Development, which is our recruitment agency. And they'll work with the companies and try to find out what their interests are, and they'll bring something to us, and then we respond to that. But when I talk about economic development, I want to look at, I would call, other kinds of economic development besides recruiting. You know, our great new businesses in the area are like Live Oak Bank, the whole contract research organization group. You know, even right next door, there's a company that came out of Tech Mountain and has opened up. And those sorts of what they call knowledge sector companies, I think we have great potential for that because those companies need to have skilled workers. Those skilled workers love the appealing quality of life. And so if we're the place where those folks want to be, the companies will follow. That's building on our strength.
And I was also reading about Opportunity Zones, that program, which I believe is a federal program.
That's correct.
And we have several of these Opportunity Zones within the city limits. How are those defined, and how are those managed, and what does the city council play in terms of these Opportunity Zones?
Well, the Opportunity Zone concept came out of the Tax Reform Act of the last one. They say if you're in an area of certain distress, then you can have an Opportunity Zone. And what that means for the investor is the investor puts money in. His or her capital gains are deferred for many years, and so that's appealing to them. Wilmington has, I think, two Opportunity Zones. There was a formula, and then the state had to say this one and this one counts. So we have two. One is near the university, and then one is Castle Street and south from there. The city doesn't have a whole lot to do with those. It's mostly federal tax law. But I know there's some folks looking at a project on Castle Street, and they're hoping to have a opportunity zone as a way to help finance that. And I'm sure others will pop up. There's a deadline. At the end of this year, they need to get things started or else their tax break gets reduced. The thing that makes Opportunity Zone unique or distinct from all the other programs you might lump in that category is the investor actually has an equity interest in the project. Most of these, it's more like financing. So if you get your interest on your money, you're happy. But here you would actually own the business, you'd have an equity interest, so those investors will have more interest in involving themselves in the business to make it as successful as they possibly can.
What is your day job?
I'm one of those retirees.
Oh.
I used to be an accountant.
Okay.
That's why I keep asking numbers questions and things like that.
You mentioned at the top being focused on affordable housing, which is something I hear talked about all the time at almost every city or council or county meeting. What's actually being done about it?
Well, there's five things I think we can do to create some more affordable housing. We have a problem in this community. You know, the carpenters who build our houses, the folks who work in restaurants, the folks who work in retail, a host of other jobs, they don't make enough money to live in Wilmington. They find it very difficult to. And so we need to have some places, some way that they can afford to live here. And so One thing is to look at what we're doing right now. We spend $1.5 million in tax dollars on housing programs. We need to look at that and make sure we're spending that as smartly as we can. Two, we need to find a way to get the developers to include some affordable housing in their projects. We can't make them do it, so we have to incentivize them to do it. But the great number of housing units in this community are by private developers. We need to get them involved. Third thing is we need to get some of the areas that need to be rebuilt and see what we can do in that area. You think about South Front Street, you think about parts of Carolina Beach Road, you think about parts of Market Street, you think about parts of Oleander that are just in really, really sad shape. And those are areas that could be redeveloped where housing could go, a lot of housing could go, where we already have the infrastructure, where the roads aren't overburdened, where we have the water and sewer, and where we can have sidewalks, so we have walkable neighborhoods. And so we need to see if we can get those areas rehabbed and with some affordable housing in it. And then we need to do the economic development proposals that I'm pushing, because part of affordable housing is how much money you make. And if you can make more money, then you can afford the housing. And then the fifth thing is I think we need a kind of a grassroots buy a house campaign. There's a lot of people out there who, because of our history, don't believe they're welcome to buy a house, don't think they can buy a house, don't know how to buy a house, but who make enough money that they could afford a modest house, a modest home. And if we can encourage them to consider buying a house, I think we can do a whole lot for wealth building among our community. We can do a whole lot to stabilize some neighborhoods and give people that participation in the American dream of owning a home. So those are some steps we can take.
Isn't the old Wave Transit Center, I believe, being considered a location for affordable housing, or do I have that wrong?
No, you have that right. There's an architect and developer has proposed putting some a mixed-use project there. We love mixed-use projects in the city. That would include some affordable housing, and he's asking the city to donate the land to the project and then to allow some of the CDBG money to go for the units there. And that would include, I think, would provide 20 units. And right now we're waiting on him to see if he can work out the financing he needs to make the deal go through.
About a year ago, we had Hurricane Florence roll through town. Since then, I've spoken to a couple folks that work for the city who have said that should another storm that maybe is stronger come through, city buildings, a lot of them are not built to withstand something more than a Category 1 or a Category 2. So what does the city need to do about that?
So with the parks bond issue, the voters approved doing some upgrades to the MLK Center on South 10th, South 8th, and to the Maids Park buildings, the Davis buildings there. And so we have, at council's instigation, staff is looking at doing those projects to a higher standard. So we'll at least have those buildings that can stand up. There's also some engineering work that's done to say that a number of buildings we thought might not be adequate are adequate. But let me throw this in while we're talking about it. The city is now hiring a new emergency services coordinator. We've never had somebody assigned to prepare for the next disaster. And I would urge anybody who's listening and has questions to contact this person and say, hey, here is an issue that popped up in the last hurricane. Be sure we're ready for that. We had some had a group that lived at a public housing project that was not a city project. It was out of Washington, D.C. They got displaced. And, you know, honestly, we weren't really aware of that possibility. We weren't prepared to deal with that possibility. So that's something we need to learn to do. We didn't have a good way to communicate what we were doing with road repairs, stormwater repairs, trees that came down in the storm. And so now we have that capability so we can be a bit more, we can communicate more about that. And so we just need to figure out all the things where, let's just say, we didn't do as well as we want to, and be sure that we can do, you know of those problems so that for the next storm, we're ready for them and can have a plan. You know, one of the probably the best things I've done as a council member was during that storm, and I would get emails about what was going on, and I would put a little Facebook post out every day saying, here's what I have learned. And it was amazing the number of people that liked that, because it was so hard during the storm to get, you know, just the 1, 2, 3 basics.
Yeah.
And having that source of information was so helpful. And I mean, you learned that at the station when people would call here about all sorts of things, and the station could give out information. But getting that information out is also, you know, being prepared and getting the information out are critical.
On the topic of storms and water, Wilmington is in some areas fairly vulnerable to sea level rise. And we see that on Water Street when there's a full moon, a high tide, or a big storm. And I'm wondering, lots of folks have said, yeah, we need to talk about that. What right now is City Council thinking about, if at all, regarding what might happen to Wilmington should the sea levels continue to rise?
That's a good question. Wilmington at its highest level is maybe 35 feet, something like that, above sea level. So we are very low. And like you said, Water Street is a problem. Everywhere that it's near the water is low, very low, of course. And the problem is, what can a city do on what's really a global problem? But I think as we do projects, we look at whether we build up some. If you look at the North Riverfront Park area, everything's being built up. That's not addressing the root of the problem, but things are being built up. So as the river rises, those things won't be flooded. Eventually, we'll have to do something with Water Street. Problem right there is we have all sorts of storm water pipes that just empty right out into the river. And so it's hard to do much there. But I think just looking at, you know, new areas that are developed, you know, as we do new projects, make sure our stormwater is up to date, or stormwater pipes can handle the storms that will be here, so it flows out and just put us in the best position to handle something that's a little bit beyond our control.
On the topic of water, a couple of years ago, of course, the Gen X PFAS story broke. And we know what the state's role is, and the federal government and CFPUA. I'm wondering specifically what the city's role is in this whole water quality contaminants issue.
So I introduced the first resolution that the council adopted on the Gen X. We did that, I think, 8 days after the Star News story came out. And called on the state to do things, called on Chemours to come down and talk to us, which, of course, they still have not done. But we've just been involved ever since then, getting involved when the state did its consent order with Chemours, trying to get that working, and just generally trying to bird dog the issue. We've had a couple of meetings in Washington. We met with the EPA and talked to them to try to get make sure they're focused on it. Of course, we now know it's a national issue, not just a Cape Fear River.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of, not Gen X, but the other water quality issue was a proposal from several years ago to reduce the water quality classification for the Cape Fear from a SC3 to a SW, or swamp water. And I filed the resolution asking EPA to send that back to North Carolina for further consideration. And as it turns out, council was, I believe, the only governmental body that said, slow down on that thing and let us look at it some more. And remarkably enough, the EPA did send it back to North Carolina for some procedural reasons. The state looked at it and they withdrew their request. So that was a great accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, going back to economic development, And you know, talking about the quality of life things that are what I believe our future, you know, having a clean river, having clean water, those are important not just because we should have clean water, but they're also important for our quality future of this area.
There are those saws again. Do you drink the tap water?
Yes, I do. So here's my take on that, Vince. CFPUA and others do all sorts of tests on the water. Random people like Detlef Kanapi, who found the PFAS in there, do tests on the water. I have a great deal of information about what's in the tap water. I don't know what's in the plastic bottle. I looked at one of those one time, and it was from Stanley County. Well, that was back when North Carolina had real industry. That was some of the industry in the Charlotte area. And to tell me that that water is going to be better than this water is a stretch for me. So I'd rather go with the devil I know than the devil I don't know.
Duly noted. Wilmington's bus system, WAVE. You know, I've lived in a lot of places, and this is probably the place with the least visible public transportation I've ever seen.
No, WAVE has to be a whole lot better. You know, we're growing. Traffic's getting worse. We need ways to get around other than getting in your car. We need to have more sidewalks so you can walk. We need to have WAVE as an attractive alternative so that people will use it. So we have a cool experiment going on with WAVE right now. The downtown trolley, a group of downtown folks got together. We redesigned the route. WAVE went along with that. It now runs from North 4th down to Greenfield Street. And the idea there is to run the trolley where there's lots of pedestrian traffic to connect those different business areas that I just identified and to see if we can get people to ride it. And so far, that's working. And in October, we're expecting to have two new trolleys on hand, which will start running that route at a more frequent rate than they do now. Now you say, okay, that's nice, Paul. You're going to have this one route that works. What's important about it is if we can figure out how to make this route work, then we can figure out how to make other routes work. And part of the thinking here is we want, I love saying this to the bus people, but we want to make them cute. We want the buses to be attractive to passengers, and the great big buses aren't. But if we have them that they're attractive, they're clean, they're on time, they're frequent, I think we can get a lot of people to use WAVE, particularly in that area, and then we can learn from that and extend the service elsewhere once we have a model that really works in Wilmington.
Paul Lawler is running for re-election to the Wilmington City Council. Paul, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.